Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1.
It's Dermot Whelan in here for Oliver this week. 51551 is the text, 087-032-3232. Last December, Bord Gáis Energy Theatre announced an open casting call for a home production of the iconic musical Little Shop of Horrors. Anyone could apply, whether they had professional experience or not. Over 2,000 people sent in videos of themselves singing in their best Broadway style. That was whittled down to 150 finalists who were then put through a series of auditions and who were paired back until left with the two people sitting right in front of me, Jacqueline Brunton and David O'Reilly. Jacqueline and David, welcome and congratulations. You have been cast as Audrey and Seymour in Little Shop of Horrors.
Good morning. Thank you for having
us.
I feel like there should have been a big round of applause. Give yourselves a round of applause there. Come on.
So, that's how we feel. I was at natural in a home. Nice round of applause.
Bravo.
2,000 people. Do you let your head go to that place when you're sending in the self-tape? Are you already imagining yourself in the role, or do you just, is it a, I'm not throwing caution to the wind here, I'm not thinking any further than this.
I think with any sort of tape as an actor, you just have to go in with the thought process that you're going to get the job and put your best foot forward, and I kind of eliminate thinking about anybody else outside of me just in that tape, because otherwise you'd just be an absolute bag of nerves and you wouldn't, as I said, put your best foot forward. So I kind of generally just kind of channel as much into how can I become the best version of this role, really.
Yeah, you have to concentrate on the role that you're going for, do your bit of research and see what you're actually going to be part of. So as much as it's very exciting, like, you do like have to channel the energy of what you're putting in there. So there's a lot of thought that goes behind what you're auditioning with and what you're going to sing. And
but you were familiar with the show, though, weren't you both?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, familiar with it. Have never been in it, but have been familiar with
it. Yeah, it's kind of a full circle moment for me. So, obviously, I've only moved back to Ireland in 2022. I lived in London and worked in commercial musical theatre over in the West End.
And you're from Lucan, are you?
I'm from Lucan, yeah. Mm. And before that, the last time I performed on stage in Ireland was as a kid, and that was in 2004. And it was at my Westside Stage School where I went to, and we did a production of Little Shop of Horrors, and I played Seymour in that. And my audition.
It was written in the stars.
Exactly. Oh, lovely. You should have auditioned.
Why didn't you go for Dermot?
Listen, too late. Room for other people.
One of my audition songs for college was Grow For Me from Little Shop of Horrors, and it was always one of the roles I really, really wanted to play. So I had kind of moved into more television in the last few years and radio. So when this came up, I was like, oh, sweet God, I need this. It was the one role that I hadn't done that I really, really, really wanted to do.
And so. Jacqueline, had you, what was your background, and had you kind of moved on from all of that?
No, I'm still in, like, still very much so part of performing arts, and where it all started out for me was I trained here at home in Maynooth University, and then I went on to perform then over, I went over for auditions just like everybody else over in the UK, and then I ended up working for Norwegian Cruise Lines for 6 years. And
yes,
and
I heard that. Yeah. What is it like to perform on a cruise ship? Because in one way it sounds really exciting because you're sailing all over the world and going to really interesting places. Yeah. And then there's the thought, if I don't like this, I can't get off.
No, not at all. It's actually very, very exciting and amazing because you get to see so many parts of the world, and like, we can get off and see everything. Yeah. You know?
But you're doing this to the same audience every night, are you?
Well, you have different passengers that are coming on every like 2 weeks.
At different
so it's not
points.
The same every night, different points. Like, but yeah, you would do like a couple of different shows and be part of different shows on board the ship. Mm. So my first show that I got cast in was a musical called Shout the Mob Musical. And that's what I got in with, playing Orange Girl in that musical. And I would have done that. And then I did like another two musicals on board.
Okay.
So there's a lot that you have to learn. Like, you have to be very, very versatile and be able to do a lot of like different kinds of shows aboard these ships. So like, yeah, the work is quite tough, but it still is amazing getting the opportunity to perform internationally and at the same time get to see so many amazing places and travel. So I did that.
Imagine, you know, there's comedians who do cruise ships as well. And you think, that annoying heckler, at least with a gig in town, you can get get away from him, but on a boat, the annoying heckler is going to follow you to breakfast.
Oh, God. Well, it's the same everywhere. Like, I'm lucky. I never had anybody follow me around or a little bit of an entourage or anything like that. But, like, you do go out and you do get to see the guests and mingle. But these ships are so huge. Like, they're massive. Yeah. The amount of people on board. You could see someone, and then there's even crew that you'd be working with that you would see, and you probably wouldn't see them again, like, probably for another 2 months. You know, they're like absolute, like, they're villages. They're like,
I know, they're massive. I mean, they're floating like, cities, aren't they? I remember one time I got a tour of one years ago, and I got brought up to the deck, you know, or the bridge, or whatever you call it, basically where the captain drives the ship. And I was hoping for, because the ship was so huge, I thought there'd be a big, huge, chunky wheel.
Yeah.
But it was a teeny tiny joystick.
And then just buttons.
Yeah. Let's talk about the show. So, yeah. Little Shop of Horrors. Can you talk people through, a lot of us may be familiar with the Rick Moranis movie from the 80s. That's kind of where a lot of us were introduced to it. So talk us through the story of Little Shop of Horrors, David. How would you break it down for somebody who's not familiar with this musical?
So it's an interesting one, because if you were to read it on paper, you'd kind of go, that sounds a bit quirky. And it is quirky, and it's become a real cult classic in musical theatre. But what's fantastic with Little Shop of Horrors is it deals with so many relative subjects with relationships and choices. And it just looks at a guy called Seymour, who works in this downtown flower shop, florist, alongside his co-worker Audrey and Mr. Mushnick, and times are hard, and he comes across this strange plant, and throughout the course of the show you find that there's only one source of food that the plant wants, and you see the characters in the show left with decisions to make about, do they go through what the plant wants because he's given them everything they want, or do they have a moral compass and go, actually, do you know what, maybe we shouldn't be doing that. But it's a fab show.
What I like about it is elements of everything. There's obviously comedy, it is quirky.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely.
It's not your straight down the middle romantic musical story. There's humour in there. People will remember, I guess, why actors like Rick Moranis played it, because he's a great comic actor. People would have remember him from Ghostbusters and things like that.
And
you've got lots of different elements in there. You have your big song. What's your big number in the show?
We launched on Dancing with the Star. Suddenly Seymour, which is a fantastic duet between Audrey and Seymour, which we had the best time doing.
Yeah.
We also Grow For Me, another one,
and
for
then
Audrey.
Somewhere That's Green.
They'd be quite iconic.
Yeah.
So.
Well, let's actually give people a listen, give a flavour, because maybe these songs aren't top of mind for people. So let's play Suddenly Seymour. Have we got that one there?
Tell me this feeling lasts till forever. Tell me the bad times are clean washed away.
They're really great tunes, and there's heavy hitters behind the people who wrote them originally, behind the Little Mermaid and Beauty and the Beast and Aladdin and all those wonderful tunes.
Alan Menken.
You're one, Jacqueline, with the Suddenly Seymour, and then was the...
Somewhere That's Green is my other song.
Here's a clip of that.
Yeah.
He rakes and trims the grass. He loves to mow and weed. I cook like Betty Crocker.
I was listening again to the soundtrack ahead of our chat, and I love the variety of this, because there's kind of rock in there, there's rock and roll, there's ballads, there's classic musical themes in there. So it's something for everybody. What is it like, you know, I mean, it is a big deal, this being a homegrown production, and it's not just one that's coming in from abroad and we're all jumping up and down, isn't it great they've paid us a visit? You know, this is homegrown. Does that mean a lot to you?
It does for me. It means a huge amount. I've been working professionally for 16 years, and I've never got the chance to work at home on stage. So to come back and get to be part of this show, this incredible kind of partnership that is the Borgosh NG Theatre and Theatreworks, to come together and offer jobs not only to professional Irish actors, but also to team offstage, your set designers, your lighting designers. They created so many jobs in an industry where it is so, you know, on the rocks, where they're, you know, just consistent work. I'm very proud to be part of that. And I'm very proud of how much Borgosh and Theatre Works are investing into making this a really top class night out that I think people should absolutely come and see, because I promise you, it's a love and I'm not just being biased, but it's a great show.
Well, you are biased. You're
it's like, from where Dave's come from, it's a little bit different than for me. Like, I have been at home here for a while and I have worked here in the like arts industry and done a lot of shows, but there isn't a lot here for musical theatre. So this is huge for musical theatre here in Ireland, that something here like so big is happening, and it's not here on this level here in Ireland. It's such a big thing to happen, and to be part of that is really, really special.
One thing I wanted to ask you about, Dave, was I know you spent some time as an understudy in the UK, and that's always something that's fascinated with me. Do you turn up? Are you at every show kind of hoping the guy falls over falls into the orchestra pit?
Death becomes her down the stairs with the parents.
Oh, he's tripped today.
I spent 5 years as a standby Elder Cunningham in the Book of Mormon in the West End. And
huge show.
People would go, oh God, how was that? And actually what was amazing was I went to the theatre every night and I think the longest I didn't go on was 3 months. But then you're on for any illness, any sickness. And I think you have to get into a mentality. But what was great about that was they enabled me to do other jobs. They were very good at, like, so I did a voice tracked a Disney cartoon. I was able to do my first ever TV show, which was the comedy series Benidorm. I did 2 series of that. So they allowed me to have time off. But you know what? Actually, what was the best thing about being an understudy in Book of Mormon was seeing all the different Cunninghams that came in over the years and just robbing all the best bits that they did.
I felt like I was at a buffet,
you know, taking all the food you like, but leaving all the ones you don't like.
Yeah. So when do you kick off in rehearsals then?
We start on the 30th of June.
Is that going to be intense?
Absolutely.
8, 10 hours, 12 hours a day type long days.
Yeah, very long days. Yes. So it's just like it's going to be fairly intense leading all the way up to it when it kicks off then on the 25th.
Yeah, so you must be looking forward to just getting stuck in and being in the... silly question, do you rehearse in the Borgosh? Do you do it in rehearsal studios?
No, we'll be in rehearsal studios. Mm. So we'll have 3 weeks in a rehearsal room with our director, Claire Tye, and choreographer, and our musical director, David Hayes, as well as the other creatives. And we work intensely on getting the show up on its feet. So traditionally, you will learn the score first, then we'll get stuff up on its feet, add in the choreography, and then we'll run that, then we'll... come on the 4th week, we go into the Borgosh and we do what's called a tech, and we start at the very beginning of the show and we tech right through, and then we will open on the Friday of that for previews. That's the 25th of July, and we preview right through until the opening night, which is the 29th. So it's
fantastic. How's your New York accent, Jacqueline?
It would want to be good, wouldn't it?
Have you studied it? Do you watch like the Sopranos or something?
Oh well, no, not at the moment. I would have back in the day, but not now. But you have to, like, as an actor, you have to try, and like you're working on them all the time. So like, especially when I was taking on this role, I would have had to like really get into the zone of Audrey and like work on it over and over again as part of the audition.
I just watched episodes of Real Housewives of New York. I threw myself into that.
Oh my God, I can't believe you said that. Oh my God.
Well, I don't know if we have that coming in, a Valley Girl coming in.
Yeah, maybe don't go too Tony to Soprano.
You're really showing me. Are you just like a live audition for
I want to be your understudy.
Johnny Ward,
and you're
going to
fall down the stairs. Little Shop of Horrors is at Borgosh Energy Theatre from the 25th of July to the 9th of August. Get your tickets now. It's an Irish production. It's a huge production and it's going to be absolutely amazing. Tickets on sale now through Ticketmaster. Thank you so much, David O'Reilly and Jacqueline Brunton, stars of Little Shop of Horrors. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having us, Jeremy.
Best of luck with the show. We're looking at Old Maids in a little bit.